So tonight we're really going to learn chapter 21 and hopefully a good portion of chapter 22. But in Perek Chav, the Baal Tanya spoke about the fact that, first of all, he started with the mitzvah of Anochi and Layilacha being a klal of Kol HaTorah Kula, so that all positive mitzvahs are contained in Anochi. All of the thou shalt nots are contained in Le'yelecha. Then he said, Ulevar Heitiv Inyan. I want to really explore this further, and he introduces his Weltanschauung, his dramatic, unique view of Achdus Hashem, which is the teaching of the Baal Shem HaKodesh, as well as the many of the Mefarshim point out, many of those who preceded him, the Mekubalim. And that is that Achdus Hashem does not only mean that there is one God. Achdus Hashem means much more than that, and the deeper meaning is that there is nothing but one God. Now, how can that be? We see a world with billions and trillions of Nivroim, of various creatures. So what does it mean when you say that there is nothing but one God? So he began with the following explanation. That the Pasuk says on the Hashem Leshenisi that Hashem doesn't change. And that means that the Ribbono Shel'Olam is the same before creation as he was, after creation as he was before creation, and vice versa. And that by human being, after we form something, that can continue to exist beyond us. Whereas by the Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, due to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, in essence, the only real creator, because he is the only one who can create a yesh miayin, he can create something out of nothing. No human being can ever create something out of nothing. So due to that fact, Bria yesh miayin requires constant creation. The mashal they give a great mashal. Last week we gave one mashal with electricity, right? So the minute the electricity stops to flow, everything stops. The light no longer burns, the phones no longer work, the computers go out, right? The second it goes out, it's finished. So that's one mashal. The other mashal, which is even a deeper mashal, in a way, given by the early Chabad commentaries, is that not only is yesh miyesh is a normal flow of energy. Okay, so I take a piece of wood and I form it into a shtender. That's a normal, and therefore it can continue to exist beyond my forming it and creating it. The Bria of Yesh Miayin is anti-nature. Nothing exists. Comes to the Rebbeinu Shlomo and he wants to bring something into existence. So the marshal they give is you take a rock and you throw it upward. So nature dictates that there's this force in physics called gravity. We learned about it in Babav. So that force dictates that things come down, not that they go up. So how long will something continue to go up against the nature of gravity? Only as long as the koyach of the person is still connected with it, forcing it to go against nature. The minute that expires, so Rechmona Litzlan, the guy standing under the stone, is going to get clobbered, right? Then it's going to come crashing down the minute that... We need to understand that Bria itself is like throwing a stone upwards. And that as long as the Ribbono Shel'Olam Koyches are maintaining its creation, then it continues to exist. The minute the Ribbono Shel'Olam stops, it goes back to nature. Nature is non-existence. That's nature. The Bria itself is Hepach HaTeva. Now, then he launches into this issue of that we got to understand that the world was created with Dibur. And he says that this helps us get a glimpse into the concept of Kula Kamei Kalei Chashiv. This famous Zohar that says that the world has no existence unto itself. Why is that? So he says, as a marshal from Dibra Adam, the speech of any person, we can speak millions, perhaps billions of words. And if we were to take any one of those words and compare the word to us, to ourselves, to our essence, to the nefesh of Daveris, there's no contest. It's nothing compared to us. We need to understand that so too, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Bria if the Bria was created by Devar Hashem, by the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bria is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu much less than our speech is to us, because ultimately we can only speak a limited amount of words. Whereas for the Rebbeinu Shleilam, it's infinity, it's Ein Sof. Now in light of that, let's go to begin Perek Chof Aleph, or page 52. V'hinei midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu sh'lo kemidas basa v'dam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas, Hashem's character, kav yochel, is very different than that of the human being. She'odom kishamidav dibur, because when a human being speaks a word, hari hevel hadibur shebepiv, the word that he just spoke, hu murgish v'nire davar b'fnei atzmei, the word, once it leaves it, and in fact the vapor of it, is separated from the human being. Once it's spoken, it can be recorded on a tape. It's totally separated, and it has its own existence. Muvdil mishorshei, and it's now separated from its source. What was the source of the word? Shein es b'chinas hanefesh atzma, like we spoke last week in Perek Chof. The source of the word were the character traits of the soul that spoke them. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein dibur ha'movdil mimenu chas v'shal yisbar chas v'shalom. But we must understand, and this is critical, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words are never separated from him. Ki ein davar chutz mimenu, there is nothing which is ever outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lei sasar ponim inei, there's nothing void of his presence. U'lechein, and in this regard, we dare not compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words to our words. In the brackets, just like his thoughts are not like our thoughts. Like the Pasuk says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, Hashem says. All of my ways are different, and that includes his speech. Aye, if that's the case, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu use the term speech at all? If his speech is categorically different from our speech, why does he use the term speech? So he says, a haflidike insight. V'loi nikra dibura yizbarach b'shem dibur. He says, I want you to know that every time the Torah uses the word vayedaber Hashem, Rak al derech mashal, it is used as the way of a parable, as a mashal. K'may shadib ratachtin shabadim. Because what's the function of speech among human beings? Hu migale v'shayme mashayot safun v'nelam v'machshavtai. The purpose of speech is to be able to reveal to those who are listening those things which were concealed in my thoughts. I want to express them to somebody else. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo blessed us with a faculty, with an expression, a mode of expression called speech, that gives me the ability to reveal to somebody else that which I was thinking. Kach l'mayla b'ein sov baruch hu, must we understand that the Rebbeinu Shlomo borrowed, and of course it's the opposite, meaning human speech is only compared, is only used as a marshal compared to God. But when the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants to convey to us how he communicates to the human being that which is concealed within himself, he uses the parable of speech for us to be able to grasp what's happening here. Is kach lemaila b'ein sof baruch hu. So too is this true with the Infinite One. Yitzias ha'or v'achius mimenu yizbarach. The ability to express, to create, to release the infinite light and energy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'a Helem Ela Gilui, that very process called creation, which is the ability that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to take that which is concealed within him and bring it into a revealed form in creation, Livroi Olamais Uli Achyoisam, this process of creating worlds and sustaining them, Nikr B'Shem Dibur. That process, therefore, is called Dibur. V'hein, hein, asora mamorois. These are the 10 statements. Shebehen nivra ha'olam, with which he created the world. V'hein shar kolat Torah neviim iksuvim. The same is true of all of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, the prophets and the writings. She'esigo ha'Nevi'im v'mar nevuasim. Those are all forms of Dibur. Why Dibur? Because Dibur is that which they were able to grasp that HaKadosh Baruch Hu released from a concealed to the revealed, and he communicated it to a human being, and therefore it is referred to as Dibur, even though Rebbe Shlomo doesn't have a mouth, he doesn't have teeth, he doesn't have the Koyach HaSapeh. Nonetheless, it is referred to as Dibur because Dibur becomes a marshal for the revelation of that which is concealed into that which is revealed. But the massive distinction is we must understand that despite the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed these things, nonetheless they remained completely and totally unified with him. Now here's the beauty of it. Derech mashal kamei diburei machshavti shel adam ba'oidan b'kayach chachmasei v'sichlei. For instance, what does it mean that they're still unified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's saying that what it means is that just as we understand, when we're preparing to say something, the words first are formatted in our minds. And if somebody were to say to us at that point, your words, where are they? At that moment, they're totally unified. I've never expressed them to anybody. They're still in my brain. So too must we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, even after he spoke them, remain unified with him, as are the human words when before they're ever released from our mouth. That's how unified they remain with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or even deeper, not only because Chachmas V'Sichle, but remember last week he said that there's even a level which is deeper, and that is the speech when it's before it's even formatted into words, when it's still on the level of desire. Even before the desire ever went from the seat of desire into the mind, even think about it, before it was ever even turned into letters, everybody understands that before the words and sentences and letters are formatted in the person's brain as to how he was going to speak them or act upon them, that at that stage they were unified with the person on the deepest level, because they weren't even formatted into sentences. They are still bekayach belev, they're still in potential, unified in the person's seat of his emotions. They're unified in the most extreme way in their source. So in the level of unity, when we speak of the unity that a person can have with his own expression, that unity is deepest, not even after it's been formatted into words in his mind, but it's deepest before they've ever gone from the emotions to the brain to format the sentence. That's how we must understand the Rebbeinu Shlomo's dibur, even after it's spoken.
Even the Dibur Briyas HaRabba.
Correct. He's going to say it again. V'koch ha-mamish derech mashal. Look at those three copies right up there. So, too, on the way of a mashal, sitting down at the edge. Miyuchad is Diburay ha-machshavtei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'tachlis ha-yichud. We must understand that the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his thoughts are unified with him, in his essence, gam even after they were expressed in actuality, meaning even after they've already created the kunz is that whereas human speech is not unified with him once the word has been spoken, it has already left the person, it's no longer even on the intellectual level, let alone on the essential level of the neshama. Whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word, even after he is created, it remains completely and totally intimately connected to him, just as it was before anything ever took place, before creation ever took place. V'ein shum shinui klal lefanav yizbarach. There is no change at all before Hashem. And now he introduces the concept of tzimtzum. Ella, where is their change? Ella bruim. You know where there's change? From the vantage point of creations. Hamikablim chiyusa mibchinas dibura yizbarach. From the creations who are receiving their energy, their sustenance, their life force from Hashem's dibur, v'b'chinas yitziyosai kvar elapoyel, after it already happened, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created b'riyasai lamois, shemislab ish b'hem lachiyosam, the Ribbono Shel Olam embodies himself in the world to give it its sustenance. Al yedei yishtal shelos mi'ila la'olol. The first step is that it goes in a form of cause and effect. That's the first step of tzimtzum. And then there's another whole step, which is called yiridus hamadregas b'tzimtzumim rabim v'shoinim, because the Svarim say that it's impossible for spirituality to create physicality. That's a jump that cannot take place in a normal Seder Ha'olam. There needs to be a leap of complete darkness, of complete removal of what the Svarim referred to as the Tzimtzum, and this is where you get into the whole disagreement between the Gaon and the Talmid Baal Shem, whether the Tzimtzum was Kipshuta, what it literally means that Ribbono Shel Olam removed himself from the picture, or it's, as the Baal Tanya is suggesting here, Tzimtzum is only from the vantage point of the creations. There is no Tzimtzum whatsoever from the vantage point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's Ach Yuchla Bruim Lekabel Chiyusam Yisavusam Emenu. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to limit his presence is in order that the creations should be able to receive their life sustenance, their force of chiyus from him, and they shouldn't be nullified and completely overwhelmed by the amount of godly energy that's pouring into them. And now he defines for us the term, v'chol ha-tzimtzumim, every form of this constriction, hem b'b'chines hester panim, what it means is a concealment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face, kaviyachol, lahastir ulahalim ha'or v'achiyos, it is to conceal and to hide this energy that hanimshach midibur yisbarach, that comes from Hashem's spoken word, shalei yizgal b'b'chines gilui rav, that it not be revealed in its full revelation, shalei yuchla tachtarim lekabel, because they won't be able to receive it, they won't be able to contain it. Ulechein gam ken nidma lahem oir v'chiyus hadiba shalamaka baruch hu hamalovish bahem ki ilu hudava muvdol memuhusa v'yatzmusa yizbarach. Therefore, because of the awesome concealments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into place, it seems to the creations from our vantage point that even if we acknowledge the Dibor that created the world, we see it from the human vantage point as if it is like our speech, as if it is like our creation, that it's disconnected and separated from Hashem's essence. We imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates like human being creates. The only thing is that we have to work hard to create, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got magical powers, so he speaks and it comes into existence. Says the Baal Tanya, there could not be anything further from the truth. Because what he's saying here is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, his speech remains totally connected, and as if he is constantly speaking and creating right now. And as a result, the only way for a creation to continue to exist is the Dibur that is Mechaya it right now, that very speech which gives its sustenance at this very moment. But remember, he stresses again and again throughout all of his Svarim, Ligabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Hashem's vantage point, Ein shum tzimtzum v'hester v'helem mastir umalim lefonov. Get this through your heads. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point, there is no tzimtzum. There's no darkness, there's no concealment, there is nothing that conceals HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Ukach hashecha ka'ira. In the places that we think are the darkest, godless places, there it is brilliant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point. Like daytime, there's no tzimtzum from Hashem's point. Kidichsiv, like the pasuk says, gam choshech leyachshech mimeko, even the darkest places are not darkened from your vantage point. Why? So he says it's got to be this way. It's as simple as day. Mishum shein atzimtzumim v'alevushim davar nifrid mimenu yizbarach hasvishol. When can you say that there are places of darkness if the limitations are true limitations, if they exist on their own. So if you can disconnect and somehow put in a battery. So if you have a battery, the battery can exist even after you pull the plug. So it exists on its own. The Rebbe Shlomo put a little battery into each creation. They all are off on their own. But due to the fact that that's not the way it is, but we all remain plugged in, there has to be a constant flow of electricity to give us our chiyus. So the moment the Rebbe Shlomo would pull the plug, so that everything ceases to exist.
So how do you get death?
Death? You said death?
How do you have death?
There's greater levels of chiyus and lesser levels of chiyus. Death is not a removal of chiyus because the body continues to exist. Right? It's just lesser chiyus. So there are, and that's how you have Toma Bechlal. Toma Bechlal is a place where there's less chiyus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to get into it in the future program about what you have Toma, how you could have Chet, how you have all forms of Sitra Achra. But the critical message is there's no Tzimtzum which is far enough to be ever separated from him. It's like a turtle who grows with its shell. These three prakim are going to be explained in much greater detail in Shari Yichud V'Emunah. Well, the chain. Now we understand. With this we understand. We understand why the world has no standing, has no independent chashivas, because it is all nothing but an emanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perek Chavbeis. It's really a continuation. I don't know why he separated into other prakim. Rak, Shatayra Dibra, Kelosha Meneodam. The Chiddush is that the Torah speaks the way we speak. V'nikra v'Torah Diburai Shalmakim Baruch Hu B'Shem Dibur Mamish. The Torah refers to the speech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu using the terminology of Dibur. Kidibur Shal Adam, using the same terminology of the Dibur of a human being. Why? Because this is the method of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about his godly emanation to those of us who are distant from him. Bitzimtzumim Rabim Biatsumim, with tremendous forms of concealment. We got to understand that this concealment takes on so many different forms. The Arizal refers to it in so many different uses of various forms of concealment, of tzimtzumim and hishtalshalas and all that, and ila v'siva v'siva. There's all different kinds of terminologies based upon how far of far flung and how the different forms of different tzimtzum there are. There's all different kinds. And what's more, this was all required. Li baris mehembruim rabim. If you want to have chocolate and vanilla, and you want to have zebras and elephants, and apples and oranges, there needs to be all these different forms of tzimtzum. Minim minim shayim v'kolkach gavra v'atzma tzimtzum. He says, I want you to understand how far-reaching is this concept of tzimtzum. V'hestepanim hol yoinim, and the concealment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's godly presence, ad sheyuchlu lihisavos ulihibaros. You know how far it goes. It goes to such an extent that the Rebbeinu Shlomo was able to bring into existence and to create gam dvarim tmeim, mamish, chazer, and avodah zarah, uklipis, v'sitra achra, all these horrible names, all of these various forms of things. Not only are they not godly, but they're the antithesis of godliness. But at the same time, at the same time, they are receiving their life sustenance and their very essence from that very same of Dvar Hashem, that the Kodesh Kedoshim, that the Aron and the Luchos, that very same godly word that's sustaining the most lofty godly things in the world, is the same Dvar Hashem that's sustaining the dark side. However, there's a difference. For this reason, they are called other gods. Mipnei sheyinikosam v'chiyusam einay mipchines ponim ela mipchines achurayim dekedusha. The reason that they are referred to Ezalehim Acherim is because their sustenance is not coming from a gift that one gives face to face. Rather, they're coming from the backside. What does that mean? Peter Shacharayim, he says, again, is a borrowed term. When a person needs to give something to somebody he hates, shaloi b'nitzoinoi, against his will, shemashlich aloi kalach ksefa, he throws it over his shoulder. Ki machzipanov mimenu misinoi sayes, because he turns his face away from his disdain of him. Is kach lemaila, so too, must we understand, takes place above as well. Pchinis panim hu pnimius haratzin elyon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives kaviyachol from his face, that's when he gives internally, because this is really his ratzon. V'cheftzer amiti, and his true desire, asher chofetz Hashem la'ashpi achius l'chol ha'karav elav. The Rebbein Shalem wants to give abundant amount of life force to everything close to him. Misitik de kedusha, provided that it is on the side of kedusha and holiness. Avla sitra achra va'atuma, but the other side, and the world of the contamination, hutayavas Hashem ha'shesone, it is an abomination of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he despises. Ve'ne mashpil achias mipnimias aratzin, therefore he does not sustain it from his internal desire. Ve'cheftzoy amiti, and his true will, ashechavetz b'chas v'shalom, that he really wants, kim command the shodi basakasvay, he sustains it like he's throwing it over his shoulder. Lisainoi shalei b'ritzainoi, to his enemy against his will. So every one of us is thinking, well, why in the world is he doing that? Who asked him? Who's forcing him to do it? How does God have an enemy? If he's the one who's controlling it and creating it, who's creating the enemy? And why is he sustaining it?
It's just a tool. Right?
For what? Rock. The reason he created it is g'day l'hanish esarishoyim, in order to punish those who make wicked choices. And in order to reward the tzaddikim, the kafyon, the sitr achra, to who overcome that dark side. And without that dark side, there is no reward for tzaddikim. So the Rebbeinu Shlom creates a force for them to battle in order that they will be deserving of their reward. But, and my father has a tape in his 13 principles, where he talks about the Holocaust. And he talks about the fact that human beings increase the power of the Sitra Achra through our actions. So the Rebbeinu Shlem sustains the Sitra Achra with Mamash Etvos, the tiniest amount of Chiyus. But what's happening, and he explains this in the Geres HaTshuva later on, that human beings feed it far more then it needs to be fed, and as a result, it becomes a much greater force in the world than it ever needed to be.
Human beings can feed it.
Nishtab. Big time. We'll get that. Wait, let's wait till we get there. Akaponim. But the main role is to give reward to the tzaddikim who are able to overcome that dark side. And therefore, its sustenance is a backhanded sustenance. But the converse, but let's focus on Hashem's true desire, on that which He gives gladly. It is the source of all life, that sustains all of the world. This level of giving gladly, that which is called panim, does not give anything to that dark side. Now he gives a second critical thing, and that is that we need to understand panim has two meanings. Panim means face, and panim also means inside. When we're dealing with the sitra de kedusha, the side of kedusha, Hashem gives in panim, He gives gladly, face to face, and it's an internal chiyus within the force of goodness. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives from Acharayim, when he's giving kaviyachol over his shoulder, it is not b'toich hamamish. It's not, it doesn't pierce inside of that force. Elamakif oleo milomaila, it hovers above it. Lekachu mokim hamisa, for this reason, because it doesn't have any internal life, it's a place of death. Ve'atuma and contamination, Hashem yishmerenu. Ki ma'at mizeyer or v'chius, because this tiny bit of energy and light, shiyonekes umikabelas litoicha, that it is able to leech and receive within it mibchines acharayim digdusha from this back side, shalamayla hu mibchines golus mamish bitoicha. We need to understand, Svasemis has a lot of talk about this in his forum, that this is the definition of golus. Golus is when godly koiches are stuck in terrible places. And we need to understand that this life force that exists in this dark side is in a terrible golus beside golus hashchina. Now, this is the concept of the divine presence that is present in this world being in golus. And every time a person overcomes the sitra achra, we release that life force that exists inside of the dark side, and it's able to be elevated. And the Svarim talk about that there's no greater joy that a person can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than returning that life force to its abode. But this, Ulechein Nikra B'Shem Aleim Acherim, this is why it's called other gods, Shiavodazara Mamish Ukfira. The reason it's called other gods is because it is literally idolatry and negation of Hashem, Be'achdusay Shemelech Malchem Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Severe words here for people who don't understand correctly the concept of Achdus Hashem, Kfira. And this is a denial of the unity of Hashem. Why? Ki me'ach ha'sha'or v'chiyus tigdusha. Due to the fact that the spark and the life force of Kedusha is in Golus, in it.
What is he saying?
He's explaining now why
it is called
the Sitra Achra is called Avodah Zara.
Okay.
Because due to the fact that the godliness that is sustaining it is in Golus, and it refuses to nullify itself to the holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire. Not only that, va'adraba, quite the contrary, magbia atzmo kenesha, it lifts itself up like an eagle. Eagles are the arrogant among the birds. They fly above all the birds. Loima, and they proclaim about themselves, aniva apsioid, I have my own independent existence. Ukamaimra, like it says about Parai, Yerli Vani Asisani, I am the river and I created it. Ulechein Amr Chazal, now with this we understand, this, what he's saying here is that anybody who believes that there is anything which is detached from the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that somehow has its own independent existence, even if one believes that it is sustained somehow by a battery created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it exists on its own, that's Avodah Zarah. Ulechein amr chazal shegasus haruach shkula kavodah zarah mamish. This is why Chazal say that arrogance is equal to idolatry. Why? Because what's the essence of idolatry? Is the fact that the idolatry considers itself its own independent existence, which is nifrad mikdusha sishal makom, which is separated from Hashem's kedusha. And yet, v'lei kfira b'Hashem legamer, yet we find that the idolaters were not, at least the original idolaters, did not deny God. They recognized the sun, the moon, they said it's our God's God. So we're just serving the secondary God. Their mistake is, yeah, we believe in God, but we have our own independent existence also. But by saying so, by giving themselves any independence whatsoever, even for a moment, they are severing themselves from Hashem's Kedusha. because they refuse to recognize that they are an emanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at every moment. And like we said in the earlier prakim, Kedusha is defined by that which is willing to nullify itself totally to Hashem. Therefore we find the Sitra Akra is called mountains of separation in the language of the Zohar, because the mountains proclaim themselves somehow as being separate from the earth. They stand very proud and tall, and they're separated. They're arrogant. V'arezu kvira be'achdusai ho'amitis. This concept of having any independence from the emanation of Hashem is a denial of the true meaning of God's unity. Dekula kamei kilei chashiv. It is a denial of this concept that the Zohar says that nothing has any chashivus if it's not sustained and created moment by moment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubatal be'emes lo yizbarach, and it is totally nullified to Hashem. Ulitzoinoi ha'machai as kulam. There is nothing which is not created moment by moment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is there and created moment by moment. And as a result, he is bringing it into his existence at every moment. Reb Tzadok HaKohen writes that therefore we understand, once we get this concept, that Hashgacha Pratis follows logically from here. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates every single creation at every single moment, then obviously the leaf that moves from point A to point B is being recreated every nanosecond by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's moving it every split second from place A to place B, obviously with a design. So from this concept flows the Musik of Hashgacha Pratis. It's a natural outcome of a world which is being created every single moment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Where's Bechira?
Bechira involves free choice of the human being. Once again, from our vantage point, from our Tzimtzumdik vantage point, we don't see this clearly. Right? We have Bechira as to whether we're going to understand this, or whether we're going to buy into it.
But if a person believes that anything, if a person believes in their own existence, it sounds like that's Kefira.
So independent existence.
Independent, what does it mean?
To say that I don't exist is ridiculous. To say that I exist and I'm being sustained and created moment by moment, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is what he's saying. But what he's trying, your mom is touching on the Nekuda Amerkazi, because therefore from all this is that Ruach Shtus is a person who pulls their own plug. It's the person who's living on a respirator, Chas V'Shalom, and walks over and pulls their plug because I'm independent. And they're out of their minds. That's exactly where he's driving at. What he's saying is, if we really understood this, if we really had clarity, then we would be insane. And that's why it's called Ruach Shtos. A person who sins is overcome by temporary insanity.